This is episode 19 of the Next Year Now podcast.
Hi, I'm Susie Pileggi Pawelski.
And I'm James Pawelski.
If you want to craft a happy life and a happy relationship with those around you,
then you need to start listening to Next Year Now podcast with our friend Tom Hefner.
You don't have to make art every day. You don't have to recreate the wheel. Just take what's working, keep refining that, and it really allows you to get predictable results. Once you know how the magic trick is done, it's straightforward.
Welcome to the Next Year Now podcast with Tom Hefner. Tom believes that if you really want to thrive at work and in life, then every day purposeful habits and practices are vital. The Next Year Now podcast will not only help you identify and integrate these habits into your daily life, but also bring you key insights and lessons from some of the most successful people in their fields. And here is your host, Tom Hefner.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast devoting to helping you thrive at work and in life. The topic of habits and practices is always front and center in our discussion, but we also explore how we use these habits and practices to improve our personal development, productivity, creativity, health and well-being, business, and entrepreneurship. Today is going to be a really fun episode for all of us to learn from. We'll be speaking with Tom Schwab, a Navy veteran and one of the best online marketers I know. He's going to talk about how we can leverage online marketing, and in particular, how being a guest on podcasts can lead to huge gains in our business and brand. In our conversation, Tom and I will be discussing why online marketing is so important for businesses and brands today, the best approaches you can use to find and get booked on podcasts, the most effective habits and practices you can cultivate to become an ideal podcast guest, book recommendations that will change the way you look at the world and help you to be so much more effective, and so much more. I do a lot of work with the Navy and the DoD in general, so I'm always excited to speak with a veteran. And Tom is an authority on how to build online businesses, and more importantly, how to get business owners and entrepreneurs featured on leading podcasts where they can start turning listeners into customers. I can't tell you how excited I am to learn the everyday habits and practices that have driven his career success. It's always great to learn what makes people the best in their field. And if you've been thinking about starting your own business, or maybe you already have, then hold on tight, because we're going to learn about the best tips, practices, insights, all of it for leveraging podcasts to light a fire under your business. Tom, thank you for being here today and welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, Tom, I am thrilled to be here. The only thing that could be better is if we were both sitting there together, but thankfully with technology, you can do amazing things today.
That's right. And maybe if we were sitting together in Cabo San Lucas.
There you go.
When I was researching Tom for our show, one of the things that stuck out to me was his background prior to becoming an expert in online marketing and business. You know, it seemed a bit different from your typical marketing expert. You know, for example, Tom worked in the medical equipment business for a long time. And if you go back further, he spent 5 years in the Navy as a nuclear submarine officer after graduating from the Naval Academy. Tom, I can't think of a career more different from online business than the Navy. What led you to pursue the Naval Academy and becoming a Navy nuclear submariner?
Well, I think as you connect the dots backwards, it makes a lot of sense. So I was a Midwestern kid, grew up in the Chicago suburbs, had never really seen the world, was blessed to go to the Naval Academy, get the education to all the taxpayers. Thank you very much for paying for my degree, and then see the world. And one of the things that it really taught me is that you can systematize anything. Right now, there are 20-year-olds out there that are running Navy nuclear power plants. And I always scratch my head when people say, well, my business is too complicated. You don't understand. It can't be systematized. And one of the things I looked at was that from early on is that everybody wants to do a great job. 99.9% of the world wants to do a great job. The problem is they're either making it up as they go or they don't have the systems and the processes involved. So when I was in the medical device field and sales, I always focused on that. Online business, to me, it's just a process and a system. You don't have to make art every day. You don't have to recreate the wheel. Just take what's working, keep refining that. And really, that's what we've done. And it really allows you to get predictable results. It looks like magic, but when you pull the curtain back, you're like, once you know how the magic trick is done, it's straightforward.
You mentioned the process of systematizing. Are there other habits that you developed during your time in the Navy to fuel your success?
Well, I think definitely the work ethic. We always used to joke around that we worked half days. You could pick any 12 hours you wanted. And that was in port. You know, when you were at seas, you had to work the whole day. So I think that work ethic there, but also the team effort of it and just having a bigger mission. Trying to look what you were doing. You can always get stuck down in the little minutia, especially in a small business, the minutia that comes to you every day, but trying to always keep in mind why are we doing this? What's the bigger mission? What's our vision that we're trying to do? That's really helped me make the progress in going towards something.
I know my own life. So I work in my background is in engineering, and I do a lot of ground-based jamming systems. And so back when Iraq and Afghanistan, that the wars were hot and heavy, I was building jammer systems for troops out in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so if I think about what you just said about this idea of meaning and purpose and connecting to that in your work, and that will really drive your productivity, your ability, or everything that you do. And I know that was the case for me, because there were times when we were working 16-hour shifts 5 days in a row. We were out in the desert in China Lake doing field tests and things like that. So I think that's a really important thing there, is when you can develop that purpose and meaning around your work, because that's going to help you be that much more successful.
The other thing that you sort of touched on it there is that once you start doing something, you think it's ordinary, right? So I've got buddies in the military that used to fly jets off the aircraft carriers. To them, it was just normal. That was just normal work. And I think as I got more and more involved, I realized that what's ordinary to you is amazing to other people. So you say running a nuclear power plant. Well, everybody I knew was doing that. That was ordinary. The people that were doing something different, that was amazing. So I think today it's even more so. All of us know something that could help people, that could amaze people. The biggest thing is how do we share that with other people? And there's a lot of problems in the world right now, Tom, but there is no better time to be alive. The access we've got to share information, to access information. You know, today, if you're isolated or ignorant, it's largely by choice.
That's right. Let's fast forward a bit in your timeline. You talked about moving into the medical device field after the Navy. In some ways, like, that still feels kind of like a far cry from online marketing. How did you eventually make your way into online marketing?
I always say that I grew up a Midwest kid, and well, I was told, get a solid job with a solid company. Well, first that was with the Navy, right? I mean, how much more of a solid job could you get? But anybody that's old enough to remember 1992, which is when my commitment came up, that's when peace broke out in the world, right? The evil empire, the Soviet Union had collapsed, and there wasn't as many opportunities. And I looked at it and I said, you know, I've done a lot of fun things here. It was putting a lot of stress on my family. So I thought, I will go find another career or a safe industry, and got to work with a medical device company, progressed through there. It was wonderful. And then 2008 came, and Michigan led the nation into the Great Recession. And at that point, I had a distributorship. I was selling for one manufacturer, and the manufacturer looked and said, we should cut out the middleman and go direct. And it made a whole lot of sense until you look in the mirror and you go, hey, I look like the middleman.
Say, wait a minute, that's me.
Now, they did right by me. They did right by everybody. But that was the opportunity that I had a small sideline business in Michigan. And we said, well, how can we grow this from being just a regional player to a national leader? And at that time, you know, going into 2008, I knew I didn't want to build, you know, a big brick and mortar sales force. So we tried something different and started to use inbound marketing. There was a book that I had read by two smart guys out of MIT called Inbound Marketing. They later went on to form a company called HubSpot, which is a publicly traded company now. And so started to use that methodology that they talked about. And when I first talked to them, I said, will this work for e-commerce? And they're like, should, but nobody's ever tried it. So we tried it, we proved it, and became one of their early e-commerce case studies there. So really it was taking the framework, the systems that I had learned, and it applied them to everything else. And to me, the strategy never changes, but every tactic has an expiration date. You know, billboards used to work great at one time. Email used to work great at one time. And those tactics always have an expiration date. But that strategy of how can I connect with a customer? How can I serve them? How can I learn from them? That's the same strategy that our grandparents used. And I honestly believe that our grandchildren will use.
So is it that if we think about online marketing versus traditional marketing, is it the strategies are the same, but the tactics are different?
Yeah. And to me, you know, I went back and got my MBA and spent way too much money to learn a simple fact. Marketing at its heart is starting a conversation with somebody that could be an ideal customer. That, to me, that's what marketing is. So the question is when you're doing bricks and mortar, how do you do that? when you're online, how do you do that? And I think too often we get focused on the tools, right? If I only had this app or if I only had this system, that would be
so successful.
Exactly. But I was reminded a few winters ago that a tool is just an amplifier. A tool is an amplifier of creativity or stupidity. You know, a friend of mine, a tree dropped down in his yard, and an artist came in with a chainsaw and carved this beautiful eagle in it. I mean, it's gorgeous. Well, that same winter, I took a chainsaw and was cutting some firewood and slipped and almost cut my leg off. It's not the tool. The tool is an amplifier. So it amplified my stupidity and it amplified the artist's creativity. So I think a lot of times people look at these tools or these tactics as, oh, this is going to be great. No, if you're spamming people with email and you get a better email tool, it'll just allow you to spam them better. And if you don't have a strategy, if you don't have an overarching thing of what am I trying to do, then you're just jumping from tool to tool. And that's why I always remind people, you know, marketing is starting a conversation with somebody that could be a great customer.
Well, so if we think about online marketing today, there are still traditional marketing avenues and mediums. Like you said, there's still print, there's still direct to your house, there's radio, there's TV. Why is online marketing so important to businesses today?
To me, it's because for most companies, your customer base has exploded, right? It used to be that we could only serve people that could drive to our location. Now, pretty much through digital tools, we could serve so many more people, whether that's shipping them product, whether that's doing Skype calls with them. Work is not so much where you are anymore. It's what you do. And so with that, you have to figure out how you can get to those customers. And one of the great things is that now we can find our ideal customers. You don't have to just find the people that are close to you. You know, I always say that the worst business advice I ever got was from my grandfather. And it was the only wrong thing that old Irishman ever told me. And before I went into the Navy, you know, he told me, choose carefully who you drink with because you can't choose who you work with. Now, for him, that was so true, right? Because he was a mechanic in a small town. He had a limited number of customers. But Tom, for you and I, it's different, right? We've got so many people that we have access to that we can just work with our ideal customers, those people that bring out the best in us, that love working with us. And so with that, you know, you can have a better company, a better job, a more profitable one, and actually enjoy it as you're doing it. So I think with the digital marketing and the digital tools, it allows you to find those ideal customers, not just, hey, how can I find one more person to buy my widget?
If we're thinking about marketing for those ideal customers, maybe share with us what you think is the most effective online marketing approach for those ideal customers.
To me, like I keep going back to it, that the strategy doesn't change over time, right? And so people still buy from those they know, like, and trust, right? That hasn't changed. So the question is, how can I use the modern media or modern channels in order to get someone to know, like, and trust me? Now, if you're just selling, you know, a Tic Tacs or something, it may not be a big thing. That's more of a transaction. That's, you know, I've got the cheapest price. But for most people that are trying to build a business, they need to build that relationship. So you look and say, how can I build a relationship? Well, does having a Yellow Page ad really build that relationship? Probably not. You know, does having a newspaper ad? Maybe not. But, you know, things like video, where people get to see you, maybe have an introduction to what you do, who you help, stories, podcast interviews or podcast is a great way for people to get to know, like, and trust you. Because I think today it's never been easier to make a transaction online. Right. If you want to sell something, it's really easy. Go to Amazon and be a penny cheaper than the next person and you'll sell it. But the problem is the next day somebody's going to be a penny cheaper than you and it's just a race to the bottom. So it's never been easier to make a transaction online, but it's never been harder to build a business. And to build a business, you need to build a customer base, build that lifetime value. And I think that really comes from people getting to know, like, and trust you, to understand what you're about, what you do, who you help. And there's a gentleman called Rand Fishkin. He was the founder of a company called SEO Moz. And I've always loved what he said. He said, the best way to sell something online today is not to sell anything, just to let people know what you do, who you help, and they will come to you.
When I think about online media, I mean, we have a little bit of a paradox on one hand, right? Because you're talking about building relationships. One of the things that one of the drawbacks of online media, social media and things like that is that maybe there isn't enough empathy for the other person on the other side. But on the other hand, we're using this medium because it's a highly effective medium. I guess, how do we sort that out?
As far as the empathy goes, I think you've got to put yourself in your buyer's shoes. Right. One of the best compliments I ever got on my business, I thought was the biggest insult at first. I took a call. The customer service lines were busy. So I thought, I'll just pick up this call. Got talking to a customer and he says, "You guys are just like Preparation H." I paused and I'm like, what's that mean? And he's like, no, it's a compliment, right? You provided relief fast. You were recommended by other people. You made my pain in the rear go away. And that really struck me, is that most all of us, we're in love with our business. We're in love with our idea. We're in love with our product. The thing is that nobody really cares about your idea, your product, your service. They care about their pain and they want to make that go away. So I think that empathy part comes into talking not so much about what you do, but how you can help them. Like for us, you know, I could talk about podcast interview marketing and the six steps, but really it's how do you go from obscure to acclaimed? How do you break through the noise and get heard by your ideal customers? That's what people are interested in.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really difficult challenge.
And that's the empathy thing. Nobody wants to know the product. They just want to know, how can you help me solve a problem?
Well, you talked about podcast marketing there. Your company kind of leads the way in podcast marketing and getting business people and thought leaders booked on podcasts. Why is it so effective, do you think, compared to some of the other online tactics that we have?
And it's interesting. We did a study last year with the state of podcast interview marketing. And one of the questions that was asked to 10,000 different people was rank the return on investment of various channels. And I was shocked. I mean, I would have said podcast interview marketing was number one, but that's actually what it came. Number one was podcast interview marketing, then Facebook, then email marketing. And I think really what it comes from is that it's a new medium, right? So it's not saturated, that you can really stand out there. The other thing is that it gives you an extended period of time to talk to your ideal customers. Nobody's going to listen to a 30 or 45 minute video if I put it on Facebook, really, because they don't know me. What you're doing with podcast interview marketing is borrowing somebody else's audience. And it's been interesting because we've seen that the conversion rates are 25 times higher than blogs. And at first I thought it was a glitch. You know, I'm an engineer by degree and I'm like, no, this has got to be wrong. So we kept testing it. And really, when you think about it, there's cold traffic to your website, to whatever, and then there's hot traffic. Now, if we were at a party, a barbecue, and Tom introduced me to you and said, oh, here's, you know, Tom Schwab and Interview Valet, here's everything they do, that's about as hot of a lead as you can get, right?
It's personal, it's direct, it's local, hyper-local in that instance.
Right, and they know, like, and trust you. So there's that transfer of that. And I think that's the same thing you get on podcasts, right? It's that same thing. There's sort of that tacit endorsement of, well, if they're being interviewed, I guess they've sort of been vetted from there. And it goes along with that. You're almost borrowing an audience with that. And finally, I look at return on investment. And Tom, I get a little embarrassed when I say this, right? Because you are doing all the work on this and I'm getting lots of the benefit, right? Anybody that says doing a podcast is easy has either never done it or never done it well. You know, it's the great ones make it look easy. It's almost like everybody wants to be a football player. Hey, I'd work 2 hours on Sunday. It looks like fun, but they don't see all the work that goes into it. So as far as a return on investment from the interview side, all you have to do is, you know, show up prepared and answer the questions. And the podcaster actually has to do more of the work. So if you want to get more return on investment, put less investment, get more return.
Well, so let's dive down what you just talked about being a guest on a podcast. Who is podcast marketing for? Like, what types of people would benefit from this?
Sure. And with our experience here, I always, like I said, I'm an engineer, so I always go back to the data on this. You know, I have feelings, I have ideas, but really it's the customers that say what works best. We work with a lot of coaches, authors, speakers, emerging brands, somebody that's more focused on lifetime value with a client as opposed to a transaction. So for example, a coach, right? When you're working with a coach or a consultant or a professional like a lawyer or an accountant, you really aren't buying a product or service. you're buying trust in them. You're buying the relationship. You know, I don't know if that coach is the best coach in the world. Yeah, I don't know if that accountant is the best one in the world, but I do know that they understand me. They understand my market. I trust them. I like them. That's where it goes there. Software as a service companies have worked wonderfully also because they've got that lifetime value of a customer. They want to build a relationship with them, not just to get them to sign up for $49 a month, but in order to get them to understand why they built the product, what they were trying to solve, who they are behind it, so that, you know, that customer will be a lifetime customer. They want to have them around for years and years. So one of the things we always ask people is like, how do you want to work with your customers long term? And one of the things that after our first 100 clients, we looked at, why did some of them get good results and some of them get great results? It really boiled down to three things, and they sort of multiplied on each other. There was message, market, and machine. So message is, do you have stories to tell and not just a product to sell? Nobody likes an infomercial. The market was, do you know who you want to talk to? And do you have something that can help them? The person that came to us as an author and said, I want to talk to everybody. Well, not everybody wants to read your book. Or the person that said, I just want to build my brand. I have no idea what that means, how you track it, how you figure out a return on investment with that. And then the final one is machine. Machine is, after somebody hears you on a podcast interview, they're going to go back to your website. They're going to Google you. They're going to check out your social media. And you at least want to make sure that that builds trust. So those were the things that we look at. You know, what are you trying to do with your customers? Are you looking at a relationship or a transaction? And then how does your message, market, and machine? If you've got those, we can accurately predict what kind of success you'll get being a podcast guest.
I'm glad you mentioned the message piece because, you know, when I listen to podcasts, that's probably my number one thing that I look for are people telling good stories. I'm human, right? Like I love hearing good stories. I love storytelling. And so having guests on that can tell good stories to me is such an important piece. And one of the reasons why I tune into the podcast that I tune into.
You know, there's Simon Sinek says, start with why. And sometimes you think you're more interested in why somebody does something as opposed to what they do or how they do it. And, you know, my driving why on this is I grew up in, you know, like I said, I was never more than 100, 150 miles from home. My world was small. I went in the Navy. I got to see the entire world and it was so amazing. I didn't want my world to get small again. And so that was always a thing. And now with technology, with podcast interviews, your world can be huge. You know, today I talked with somebody already. We've got a client in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. I talked with him this morning, got a call with one of our clients in Singapore. So the world is huge. And I love that idea of connecting people that should know each other. My mom, she loves me. She's proud of me. She's even read my book, but she doesn't understand what I do and what podcast interview marketing is all about. But basically, I just tell her, Mom, I introduce people that should know each other for their mutual benefit.
That must be like a mom thing because my mom, again, you know, she loves me. She knows that I have a podcast and she's like, oh, that's great. She shares it with her family, but she still kind of says, well, why are you doing this? If podcast marketing resonates with you and you're looking to use this approach, then I want you to stop what you're doing right now. Take a break from your lifting or running if you're at the gym. Stop preparing, you know, dinner or breakfast if you're in the kitchen. Just stop what it is what you're doing right now. Because my next question for Tom is going to be super important for how you can leverage podcast marketing for your business or thought leadership. Tom, what are the most effective practices we can cultivate to find and get booked on podcasts?
That's a great question, but I'm going to say if you want a better answer, always ask a better question. The question is how can you get business results from being a podcast interview, right? Because there's 400,000 podcasts out there. Getting on a podcast is not the challenging part. It's turning it into results. If you're listening here, I've got a couple of resources. I'll put those up at interviewvalet.com/next-year. The first one is there's 6 tips and getting on your first podcast interview. After you read them, you'll go, well, this makes sense. You know, like reaching out to the podcast host beforehand, listening to their podcast, giving them a rating review, then focusing on what we were talking about before, the empathy. Not here's what I've got, but here's what I could bring to your audience. Your goal being on a podcast is to make the host look like a genius for having you on.
I'm just going to say right now, I think you're making me look like a genius right now.
If both of our moms listen to this podcast, I hope they like it. Another one is, I'll put a resource up there. We've got a checklist, you know, Navy nuclear power. We were big into checklists. And it's better to learn from somebody else's mistakes than your own mistakes. So there's a checklist that we give to all of our clients. Every error that's probably been made in the last 7,000 podcast interviews is on there. Little things like turning off your phone, turn off the Dropbox syncing on your computer so you don't lose your connection, things like that. I'll put that checklist there. And then also, I always say this is a system. It's not magic. It's not art. And one of the things that I did is last year, I wrote a book called Podcast Guest Profits. And it's basically our podcast interview marketing system. It lays out exactly how we do it. And people asked me, why would you tell everybody how you do it? And I said, because I want to grow this entire category. I believe in 5 years from now, podcast interview marketing will be like Facebook marketing or email marketing because it's that powerful. And, you know, if you want to do it yourself, it's not magic. The book, I'll put it up on the page there at interviewvalet.com/next year. You can download a free copy. If you want to buy it on Amazon, it's there too. But you can figure out how to do that. And then I always say, if our customers are the ones that say, yeah, I understand how it works, it's almost like the chef that gives you the recipe. It's like, yeah, but I just want to have it done for me. So those are the kind of clients we work with. The one thing I would say, and listen up to this, if you're listening to a podcast interview, you know the power of this medium. And you know that it's going to keep growing and growing. You've got something to share with the world. Now, if you don't do it, somebody else will. Your ideal customers are going to be listening to podcasts in the future, and they're either going to be listening to you or one of your competitors. And they can listen to you as a guest, as a host, or as both. Just take that step and get on your first podcast.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that you kind of released the secret sauce, right? Because so many people are they hold things close, you know, close to the vest. They don't want to share that kind of thing. But what I always tell people is, listen, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? This will benefit all of us.
Oh, very much so. And we learn from each other. You know, everything that's in that book, and the book's about 12 months old now, I'll probably have to come out like version 2, because we're always learning as people tell us, and we run new tests, and we always put it in there. Yeah, the idea that it's a secret, it's magic. No, it's a system. If it's magic, it's not going to work every time. But if it's a system, then we can provide reproducible results. And really, you know, I always say the best copy comes from our customers. And early on, we did this for a small group of people. Then I had an online course that I was teaching. And what I found was I never took it out of beta because the clients were saying, yeah, I understand how it works, but I just want to do it. I want you to do it for me. You know, I want to be the guest. You take care of the rest. And I'm like, what do you mean? Somebody said, Sinatra only sang. He said, I want to be Sinatra. I want to be the talent. You guys take care of all the rest. And so that's what we do.
To that point, if there's a business leader, if one of us is a thought leader, if we want to work with you, what should we do? How should we go about that?
Sure. I was going to say, I'll put all my email information, the contact information there at interviewvalet.com/next year. And I would love to talk with you. You know, I said earlier, what's ordinary to you is amazing to me. So I'll put my calendar link on there too. And you can just find a time that's convenient for you for us to jump on the phone for 15 or 30 minutes and do a little analysis to look at your message, your market, your machine, to see what kind of results that you would expect to get from podcast interview marketing. And then look and say, are we the best agency for you? Because ultimately, we're not looking just to get another client. We're looking to get another raving fan, because that's how we build our business. About a third of the customers that we get are from current clients that are telling other people about it. A third of them come from podcast interviews, you know, just like this. And then about a third of it come from partners, marketing agencies, PR agencies that realize we've got the expertise in podcast interviews, so they partner with us.
Fantastic. I know that if I start to venture off into podcasting, I will definitely take a look at you guys. Look, it's time for one of my favorite parts of the show. And this is where we talk about one of the best habits we can cultivate. And that is the incredibly beneficial habit of reading. Tom, I want you to think about the books you've really enjoyed over the years. You know, the ones you always remember when someone asks for a book recommendation. What are the two or three books that stand out for you?
Yeah. And I'm a voracious reader. I sort of lie when I say that because I don't read a lot of books. I listen to a lot of books. I'm probably going through about a book a week. The one that had a huge impact on me over the last year is called Play Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. It's all about category design, and it really changed the way that I looked at the world. It's not about brand, it's about category, and both in your business and your life. So Play Bigger is one that I always point to that has been great. Another one is The 12-Week Year by Brian Moran. And I'm not just saying this because Brian's another Michigan guy here, but he talks about breaking down the year into 12-week segments and thinking about that. And especially as a fast-growing business that we are, for me to look out 1 year, 3 years, or 5 years, that's too far. But I'm amazed at what we can do when we say this is what we're going to get done in the next 12 weeks. And I think there's a lot of support from that. If you look at it, seasons, you know, about every season is about 12 weeks. So we've started to implement that over the last probably 18 months and just done amazing things with that.
Last question. What are you working on now that gets you excited every day?
To me, it's connecting people. I think the greatest gift you can ever give somebody is to introduce them to a new person or a new idea. I'm a coffee addict. If you give me a $5 Starbucks card, I guarantee you it won't go to waste, but I probably won't remember a week from now who gave me that cup of coffee. But an idea or a person, boy, that's so much different. So I look at it as you always remember who introduced you to somebody. You know, you'll always remember who introduced you to your spouse. You'll always remember who introduced you to that new idea that changed your life. So that's what I get excited about when I get to introduce people. And that's either as our company, introducing thought leaders to podcast hosts who have great audiences, or even just my daily interactions when I talk with somebody and say, oh, you should meet, let me introduce you to so-and-so. And it's just the world gets to be a richer place. And I really believe that the richness of our lives is the richness of our relationships.
Tom, that's all I have. This has been a fantastic interview. I'm taking away some really concrete pieces of advice and habits to implement in my life, and I know my listeners are too. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you, Tom.
You can connect with Tom online through his website, interviewvalet.com, and his Twitter account, @TMSchwab. That's TMSCHWAB. All the links and resources Tom and I discussed, including the link to his free ebook, you're not going to want to miss that, Podcast Guest Profits, can be found at the page created just for this episode. You'll find it all at nextyearnowpodcast.com/19. And finally, just a reminder, if you like the show and enjoy learning from our guest each week, please consider giving us a rating and review on iTunes. It helps us stay relevant and findable by listeners like you. That's it for today. I'll see you next time.